Chapter 37. A week passed since Atman helped LP with the personal imagery and music therapy. They were scheduled to meet at a small coffee shop in the busy Queen West area of Toronto. The afternoon sun glinted off the glass facade of the shop, making it seem like a beacon in the bustling streets of Toronto. LP pushed open the door and was greeted by the aroma of freshly ground coffee beans and the low hum of conversation. His eyes scanned the room, settling on Atman, who was sitting by the window, engrossed in an article on his laptop. "Hey, John," LP said, sliding into the seat across from him. "Long time no see." Atman looked up, his face breaking into a warm smile. "LP, good to see you too, man." He closed his laptop and gestured at the half-full cup in front of him. "Grab yourself a coffee and let's catch up." "Sounds good." LP made his way to the counter, ordered a black coffee, and returned to their table. "Cheers." Atman clanked his cup against LP's before taking a sip. "So, how are things? The cold turkey is still cold?" LP hesitated for a moment, then decided honesty was the best policy. "Not gonna lie, shortly after we met last week, I had a few minor moments, but pushed through and I'm not interested anymore." "Wow, that's great news." Atman's face lit up with genuine happiness for his friend. "I'm really proud of you, man."
"Appreciate it. Thanks for all your help."
LP took a sip of his coffee, the bitterness grounding him. "What about you? What's new since we last met?"
Same old, same old."
Atman waved his hand dismissively. "Still chasing after the latest audio tech and trying to make a living out of it." "Speaking of audio tech," LP's voice trailed off as he thought about the reason for their meeting. Atman raised an eyebrow, curiosity piqued. "What is it?"
"It's just, you mentioned that you knew someone who might be able to help me with the glitch," he said.
"Absolutely," Atman answered enthusiastically. "I checked into a few contacts and I know an audio expert named Eugene Case who might be able to help us figure this out."
"Eugene Case?" LP echoed.
"Yep, he's an omnibio acoustics expert, specializes in understanding the languages of all animals. He's actually in town for a conference on AI and ethnic languages. I think he'd be interested in what you've discovered."
"Really?"
LP felt a spark of hope ignite within him. "You think he could help me figure out what's going on with these recordings?"
"It's worth a shot."
Atman pulled out his phone, scrolling through his contacts. "I can put you two in touch if you want."
"Please, that would be amazing," LP said, gratitude swelling in his chest.
The bustling conference center was a hive of activity, with people from all corners of the globe mingling and exchanging ideas. LP felt a little out of place, but Atman's confidence was contagious as they navigated the crowded halls in search of Eugene Case. They eventually found him in one of the seminar rooms, finishing a presentation. And just a reminder that the greatest selling album of all time was not by the Beatles, Led Zeppelin, or Taylor Swift, but a series of recordings of humpback whales that the great omnibio acoustic expert Roger Payne created and distributed via National Geographic, resulting in more than 10 million copies being sold in a single day. Case continued, "Here are some thoughts about animal communication that I'd like you all to consider. A blob of heat in the Pacific is forcing all manner of species to alter their migration patterns. If they don't, they die." One of the earliest recordings of this phenomenon was in 1929, when Arthur Allen, an ornithologist from Cornell University, made one of the first recordings of a non-human voice, that of a song sparrow. That species didn't alter its migration pattern, and it died out. He later went to Louisiana to record woodpeckers, and all we have left is their song, as they too are extinct. Each time we lose a species, we lose a piece of the puzzle that is us. It used to be that we would record creatures so we could learn, but now we're scrambling to keep this recorded information because of its value as a history lesson. No, a warning lesson. It was obvious that Eugene Case was used to having to repeat himself, as he barely looked at his notes as he spoke.
This data is being recorded to some of our most potent computer analysis programs, Case went on, which now constantly listen for signs of creatures that may not actually be extinct, despite what we thought. Amazingly, the introduction of AI also means we can not only listen for increasingly rare creatures, but we may also be able to communicate with them. It's obvious to us now that all animals communicate, not just with themselves, but with other creatures. However, we're pushing the boundaries with zoolingualism, which is the study of the language of all animals, from the grunts of piglets as they're reunited with other friends, to the whales sending signals over the entire ocean in order to alert their peers about migration trails and mating locations. We're beginning to understand the range of sounds that other creatures make, particularly in the context of different emotional states. He paused, took a drink of water, and continued. Omnibioacoustics pushes us to listen to the entire spectrum of sound and not just try to detect single animals. Picture yourself in a busy bar. When there are just a couple of people, it's easy to pick up on most conversation, but more people results in more volume and general noise that represents the spectrum of frequency of human hearing. A pristine forest is much the same way, and part of our mission is to understand how different species adapt to variations in frequency, volume, and sometimes even amplification. We've come to learn that it's critical to grasp the entire environment that animals inhabit, including how they compete to get their voices heard amidst the cacophony of other sounds. This broader perspective is critical to understanding the influences on one-to-one communication with common creatures. I had a breakthrough a few years ago when my team and I realized that animals, just like humans, have dialects, slang, and even slight variations in tone. These nuances make it hard for us humans to comprehend, but as we learn to listen more carefully, we realize just how much more is going on. We're also starting to identify that many females of many species are now singing and making unique sounds. Most earlier biologists brought their own biases to their place of study, and it was assumed up to the 1980s that only the males of most species had something to say. Many bird species have actually changed their songs as their habitats have disappeared, and their potential disappears with them. He paused again, placed his finger on a button on his laptop, and said, "I want you to pay attention to these two recordings." The sounds of the Hawaiian honeycreeper filled the hall. It was a joyful-sounding series of tweets with a lot of trills and variations in the tone. This was recorded in the 1970s. He touched another button. Here's a more recent recording, with the two compared on a spectralayer display. The hall was now filled with a subtler and more somber-sounding tone. The trills were less pronounced, the variations minimal. This is the sound of a species that is aware of its fading existence. If this doesn't break your heart, I honestly don't know what could. This, my friends, is why it's vital that we slow development, especially around sensitive habitats. It's also critical that we try to accumulate as many recordings of everything we can as quickly as possible, he said, thumping his fist on the podium. Millions of years of evolution have been destroyed by what can only be called 18th century European tourists, he added. We are just beginning to come at this research with a non-binary attitude toward non-human creatures on Earth. We have to ask ourselves this. If we're missing tiny details like this, imagine what else we're missing, especially when we drive species to extinction. Every species that fades from the planet might have been the Rosetta Stone of communication with other animals. So, you see, he concluded, the sooner we adapt, the sooner we might begin to secure our future on this planet. There was a moment of contemplative silence, and then the crowd roared with applause. Case stood for a moment and then gradually made his way off the stage to the floor. It took several minutes for Atman and LP to be able to approach Eugene Case. At a conference like this, he was like Bono. "Ah, finally," Atman said with a wink as Case turned to greet them. "I never thought there would be so many middle-aged groupies at a bioacoustic conference." Case turned to him and his face lit up with a grin. He enveloped Atman in a giant hug. Even up close, he was a handsome man. He had salt and pepper hair, broad cheeks, deeply tanned skin, and deep-set eyes, giving him an air of wisdom that seemed to draw people to him like moths to a flame. "John Atman, it has been far too long," he said warmly, pulling away from their embrace. "Indeed it has," Atman agreed. "What an incredible speech! You still have your way with words, even when you're being so nerdy about animal noises," Atman teased him good-naturedly. He turned to LP. "Allow me to introduce you to my friend LP." "Nice to meet you," LP said, extending a hand. Eugene shook it firmly, his gaze curious but friendly. "I'm going to have to cut to the chase here because I've got another presentation to do in about 20 minutes. So, fire away. John tells me you have a mystery on your hands." He raised an eyebrow. "Something to do with music recordings?" Yeah, LP replied, feeling a sudden wave of self-consciousness wash over him. It seemed really obscure and odd at first, and maybe this is a little academic and geeky in terms of recording. "Come on, man," Atman teased. "Tell him what you've discovered." "I've tracked a collection of strange glitches in a bunch of songs I've been working on. It's hard to explain, but..." "Say no more," Eugene interrupted, holding up a hand. "I'm always intrigued by peculiar phenomena, especially when they intersect with my field of expertise." He paused, then added, "Speaking of which, have either of you ever ventured down to Brazil or South America?"
"Can't say that I have," Atman admitted.
"Nor I," LP chimed in.
"Ah, well, you are missing out," Eugene said, his voice taking on a dreamy quality. "There is a whole world of unique sounds waiting to be discovered there, especially in the bird songs."
"Really?" LP asked, intrigued.
"Absolutely," Eugene replied, leaning in conspiratorially. "In fact, I've spent years recording and tracking different bird songs in the region, and now, with the help of artificial intelligence, I am able to identify the various species more accurately than ever before."
"Wow, that's fascinating," LP said. He couldn't help but wonder if Eugene's expertise might hold the key to understanding the glitches in his recordings.
"Of course, there are still many mysteries to be solved," Eugene continued, "but that is precisely what makes my work so exciting, the thrill of discovery, of unearthing hidden truths."
LP found himself nodding in agreement. It was that same thirst for knowledge, that drive to uncover the unknown, that had brought him back to school to study recording and, ultimately, led him to John Atman.
"Would you be willing to have a listen to these glitches I've been encountering?" LP asked, trying not to sound too desperate. "I could really use an expert ear like yours." Eugene regarded LP thoughtfully for a moment, then nodded.
"Of course, my friend. I would be happy to help."
"Thank you, Mr. Case," LP said, relief flooding through him. With Eugene on board, he felt like he was finally making progress toward understanding the source of the mysterious glitches.
"Let's start from the top. Tell me more about these glitches you've been encountering." His eyes narrowed in curiosity. "What exactly is happening to the music?"
"Well, it's strange," LP replied. "The only songs affected by the glitch are either made by a band named after animals or are songs that are about animals. At least that's what I've been able to find so far."
"Interesting," Eugene mused. "And what do these glitches sound like? Can you describe them to me?"
"Distorted, like something is trying to break through the music itself," LP explained, the memory of the unsettling sounds making him shudder involuntarily. "It's as if the song were being overtaken by another sound entirely. If I didn't know any better, I'd say there's a message being played over in the song."
"Curious indeed," Eugene said, rubbing his chin thoughtfully. "You know, as I said a few moments ago, I believe we are on the verge of being able to understand animals and what they're trying to communicate. It's possible that these glitches could be related to this upcoming breakthrough."
"Really?" LP asked, his heart racing at the possibility.
"How so?"
"Consider my work with bird songs, for example. I've spent years deciphering birds' complex languages and learning how they communicate with one another. And now, with the assistance of artificial intelligence, our understanding of their language is deeper than ever before." Could it be that the animal-named bands or animal-themed songs are somehow tapping into this communication? And wouldn't there have to be someone behind something so elaborate? Atman chimed in. Perhaps, Eugene responded, his expression unreadable. It's too early to say for certain, but it's worth exploring further. LP felt a mixture of excitement and trepidation at the prospect. Could it be that his quest to understand the glitches might lead him to new discoveries about the world around him? As he considered the possibilities, he couldn't help but feel a renewed sense of purpose. Thank you, Mr. Case, LP said, with genuine gratitude. Your insights have given me a lot to ponder. I can't wait to delve deeper into this mystery. Of course, my friend, Eugene replied, his eyes twinkling with enthusiasm. The pursuit of knowledge is an adventure like no other. I look forward to seeing where it leads you. A few days later, LP, Eugene Case, and John Atman met again. LP shifted in his seat, still processing the implications of Eugene Case's words. The sounds of Toronto outside the cafe window served to ground him, but his mind raced toward the horizon of possibilities. A streetcar rattled by, the ground vibrating slightly from its movement. Speaking of communication, Eugene said, tapping a few keys on his laptop. The screen displayed a program with a sleek, futuristic interface. Have you ever heard of Hex Editor Neo? Can't say I have, LP admitted, leaning in to get a better look at the screen. Neither have I, said Atman, doing likewise. LP tried to hide his surprise when he heard Atman's quick admission. He thought this guy knew everything about recording and digital media. Eugene grinned, his eyes lighting up with excitement. Well, it's a fascinating tool. You see, Hex Editor Neo allows users to embed secret messages in digital materials, such as music files. Really? LP asked, his eyebrows raised in surprise. And how does that work exactly? By altering the hex values within a file, you can hide data without affecting the playback of the media itself, Eugene explained, demonstrating the process on a sample audio file. It's quite ingenious, really. Wow, Atman murmured, clearly impressed. So you think the glitches might have something to do with these hidden messages? Perhaps, Eugene mused, closing the laptop. Someone might have used the editor to modify digital songs, but may not done a very effective job of covering their tracks, because even slight errors will generate glitches. It's truly a unique coincidence, but I'm mentioning it in my presentation today. I'll touch on how I'm experimenting with reconstructing recordings to track language changes and to try to communicate with different creatures more effectively. LP nodded thoughtfully, feeling a wave of gratitude for the help and wisdom Eugene had offered. Thank you so much, Eugene. Your insights have been invaluable. I hope we can stay in touch. Absolutely, Eugene agreed with a warm smile. I'm always eager to hear about new discoveries and breakthroughs, especially concerning my fellow non-human creatures. Please don't hesitate to reach out if you need any assistance, or if you simply want to share your findings. Will do, LP promised, shaking Eugene's hand. And good luck with your conference. Thank you, Eugene replied, gathering his belongings. I have a feeling it's going to be quite an enlightening experience. As Eugene left the cafe, LP couldn't help but feel rejuvenated and inspired. With newfound determination, he was more than ready to dive back into the world of hidden messages and animal languages in search of whatever mysteries they might hold.